good to see everybody this morning. I hope that everyone had a good week. Certainly, my family did. We were able to go and spend a little bit of time with my parents this weekend and just kind of hang out on the farm and do some things around there. We can't really go anywhere else or do much of anything else. And Dad and I don't know when we started. Might have to ask Jamie. I can't remember. Jamie has come and helped us on several occasions build a cabin in the woods. And so all eight of us ended up spending most of the weekend in the woods and the cabin and just doing some things that I used to do on the farm to entertain myself before I had a cell phone and all of those things. So a very enjoyable weekend for us. I hope that yours was good as well. But I guess the point of all of that is we have a choice. I don't know what you did this weekend, but it may or may not have been the same or similar to what I did this weekend, right? We all have a choice. Think about all of the things that are going on around us in today's society. You know, and we mentioned last week to wear the mask or not to wear the mask. Well, guess what? We have a choice. You know, certainly there are going to be some people that don't like the choices that we make, but we do have a choice in those things. And what I want us to realize today, spiritually speaking, is that we have a lot of choices. We are blessed in this country to have choices, even though we don't always like to make those choices, do we? You may say, well, what do you mean? What are you going to eat or where are you going to eat for lunch today? Oh, right? And the more people you get in the family that have a voice, the more options that are going to be thrown out. We don't want to not make that choice because we don't have choices. Or we don't want to have choices. It's difficult for us to make decisions like this, even simple decisions like this, because we have too many choices, right? What suit am I going to wear? What tie am I going to wear with the suit? What shirt am I going to put on, you know, that matches the suit with the tie? Or what shoes am I going to wear with the, right? We have too many choices in many occasions, and that's why we don't want to make simple decisions like this. Well, where do you want to go to eat? Well, we have so many choices that my fear has always been, well, I'm going to pick something and this person's not going to like it. And they're not going to enjoy it as much as I do because I made this decision and they didn't. And so a lot of times I'll push those decisions off on other people. Not because I don't like having choices. It's because we have too many choices to choose from. Spiritually speaking, God made man a free moral agent. We won't go through all of these verses necessarily just to keep our time frame shorter, but there's plenty of evidence that we have choice. He gave Adam and Eve a choice. Don't eat from this tree or touch it, or you'll die. That's a choice. We try to tell our children this all the time. When they get in trouble for not doing something, if you don't pick these up, we're going to give them away to somebody else. If you're not going to take care of these toys, we're going to take them, we'll give them to somebody who will. It's a choice. Now, they don't like it, but no, you don't have to clean up that mess. But understand, if we have to clean it up, it's going to be given to someone else who will clean it up or whose parents don't care if they clean it up. But it's a choice. And they don't understand that. We take those things and say, well, this was left out. And normally we don't just take it away. We give them opportunity to say that you still haven't picked up your dirty laundry. You still haven't picked up those toys. We give them opportunities. And then all of a sudden when we say, okay, this is going somewhere else, but, your choice. It was your choice to do that. You knew what the rules were. Same thing with Adam and Eve. God said, you have a choice. God wasn't standing there by the tree going, no, don't do that. He gave Adam and Eve a choice. You have the option to be obedient, to be appreciative of everything that I've given you, to be obedient to the things, the simple things that I've asked you to do, or not. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, we find that Jesus came to his own and his own rejected him. They did not receive him. Why? Because they had a choice. I've had people ask, well, why didn't God just make us obedient? Wouldn't that have been so much easier? Let me ask you, do you want your children to be obedient just because you told them to? Do you want your spouse to be faithful to you just because they feel like they have to? Oh, none of us want that, right? We want our children to be obedient because our children love us and respect us and want to be obedient. We want our spouse to be faithful to us because they want to be faithful to us, because they're committed to us, not because they feel like they've been forced to. And the same is true with God. The same was true with Jesus. He gave them the choice. You can accept me or reject me, but it is going to be your choice. We find in Joshua chapter 24, we talk about this verse all the time. Joshua stood up and made a choice. But as for me and my house, you decide what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a choice. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21 demanded that the children of Israel, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? Make a decision. Are you going to worship Baal or are you going to worship God? Stop trying to do both. Because as we'll see later, you really can't. We're faced still with so many spiritual decisions today. Decisions that we as individuals need to make. And I want you to also remember something throughout this lesson. That not choosing or trying not to choose is making a choice. If we choose not to stand with God, not to stand with Christ, he says, then you're on the other side. If you're not gathering with us, you're scattering. And so trying not to choose, trying to stay in the middle is not going to work. And so I want to just examine some of the decisions that we make today and apply that to our lives. The first is we get to choose, who our master is. Isn't that a nice choice that we get to make? Well, the bad news in all of that is we are slaves, right? That's what Romans chapter 6, that's what the scripture reading, I usually thank the person, but I'm not going to thank myself for reading the scripture reading. But as we're reading the scripture reading, that's what that says, right? You have a choice of who your master is, but you're slaves to something. You're slaves to someone. And we may sit back and say, I'm not a slave of anybody. Yeah, you are. You're slave to something. You're slave to someone. You may not like that and you may not think that. But God says there's only two options and you're a slave to one of those two things. And what Paul is trying to outline to the Roman brethren is to make your choice. You're either a slave to this or you're a slave to this. Make your choice. Which would be better? I know all of us probably don't like the fact that we have to go to work. But a lot of times when you have the right boss, your job's really not all that bad. When you like what you do, it's really not all that bad. You know, we get to make decisions on what we're going to do for our career in most cases. Now, we may say, I want to be a doctor, but if we don't work hard enough to be a doctor, we're not going to be a doctor. They're not going to let us do that. But for the most part, we get to decide, we get to choose what it is that we want to do. I read something the other day, and somebody was talking about choice. And they were saying, if you could go back in time and say something to your younger self, would you say anything? What would you say? And somebody posted over there, and I'll tell Jamie to remind me of who it was, because he knows who this is, but I'm not going to say it out loud. He said he wanted to be an accountant when he was 16 years old. And if he could go back in time, he would just tell his younger self, you just keep doing what you're doing. For some reason, he loves being an accountant. I don't know. Seems like it would be boring to me. But he said when he was 16, he decided that... Who decides at 16 that they want to be an accountant? But that's what he did. He decided that he wanted to be an accountant. He went on to be an accountant. He loves still being an accountant today. He made a choice. And he's happy with that choice. I probably wouldn't have been had I made that same choice. I started heading down a path of computer science, computer programming. And I realized at some point, this is not for me. Sitting behind a desk and writing code, and while I enjoyed bits and pieces of it, it just wasn't for me. I'm too fidgety. I can't do it. And so, but we get to make those choices. One of the guys that I the best boss I ever had, I've told you many times, Reese Bex, right when I was in college. This guy's 70 years old, and he's out in the snow pushing carts, carrying people's groceries. He's in the meat department with a hairnet on, slicing meat. He's serving people, and he never asked anyone in that store to do anything that he was not willing to do. He was a great person to work for. And so because we get to make that decision, sometimes our jobs aren't that bad. Now, if we feel like we get forced into something, then maybe it's not as good as we would like for it to be. But we get to choose. You can walk away from your job. You say, but no, I can't. I won't get paid. But that's your choice. It's another choice that we have. You can turn in your 2 weeks notice. You can quit tomorrow. Don't say, hey, my preacher told me I should quit today. Don't do that. Right? Think about it, pray about it, do all those things. But it's your choice if that's what you want to do. And again, that's what Romans chapter 6 is expressing to us. He tells us within that context, you're either a slave to sin. And again, if we look at John chapter 8, in verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And again, you may stand on your horse and say, I'm not a slave to anything or anyone. You may not like it, but yeah, you are. It's keeping you from something else. It's keeping you away from something else. So either you're a slave to sin, as Paul tells the Romans, or you're a slave to Christ, as John chapter 1 and verse 12 reiterates. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. We have that right to become slaves to Christ. There's the only two options that he gives the Roman brethren. And it's the only two options that we have today. But I want you to recognize something, that if we choose Christ, which hopefully all of us who are here would say, yeah, I don't want to be a slave to sin. I'll be a slave to Christ. Understand that that means something. It means something when we choose Christ and we say, I'm going to be a slave for Christ or to Christ. That means something. And sometimes I think we lose sight of that. Look at Romans chapter 12 in the first two verses. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy compromise. Is that what that said? Sacrifice. There's a difference, isn't there? We want to be living in holy compromises to God. I'll give a little, you give a little, we'll hang somewhere in the middle, right? That's not what God requires of us. If we are going to be a slave to Christ, he says it is not a compromise. It is a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. All the time. Well, what does that mean? It's your reasonable service, or it's your spiritual service of worship. I said the layman's translation of that is, it is the least that you can do for what God has given to you. That's probably how we would say that. It's the least you can do is to be a living and holy sacrifice to God. Do not be conformed to this world. That's the compromise. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Become something different by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and there are others, but these should suffice. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, new things have come. So if we make the decision to make Jesus our master, guess what that means? It requires something on my end. So much of the world will tell you that it does not. All you have to do is choose Jesus, and then you can go on living your life just as long as you believe, as long as you've chosen Him in your mind. That is not at all what Scripture tells us. Scripture says if you choose Jesus, there's a whole new set of rules. You're not living your former life. You don't go back to your former life. You become a new creature. Right? You transform into something else, something that you weren't before. If you look at your life from 20 years ago, some of you can't. So cut that into whatever percentage that you need to cut. Are you the same person that you were 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago? I might not be able to say that tonight. Are you the same person? I hope not. There's no way that I'm the same person that I even was probably 5 years ago. We need to constantly be giving more and more and more of ourselves over to Christ. So the question is for you this morning, who is your master? We only have two choices. Who is your master today? Who are you serving? We also have a choice of separation. We can choose who and what to separate from. By choosing God or choosing sin, we're going to separate ourselves from the other. You realize that? And again, that's part of that process. We can't say, I choose God, but I'm going to hang out over here with sin. No, the choice, when we choose our master, we also choose who and what to separate from. If we choose sin as our master, then we're going to separate ourselves from God. These are the same people. The people that choose sin are oftentimes the same people that says, where's God? Why would God allow this to happen? Where is He? He's over there where you left Him. He hasn't moved. You need to go to Him. You left Him, but yet you're blaming Him for something that He didn't do. But those are often those people. If we choose to serve sin as our master, then we're going to separate ourselves from God. But if we choose God, if we choose Jesus Christ as our master, then we're going to separate ourselves from sin. We can't say that we choose God and then stay over and continue in sin. The verbal is only part of it. Again, back in our context in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Guess what? If you choose sin, you don't have to live a righteous life. That's your choice. You don't have to live that. That's what Paul is telling the Roman brethren. There's consequences for that, but you don't have to. Again, we tell our children all the time, it's your choice. You don't have to pick up those dirty clothes. You don't have to pick up those toys. That's your choice. But we also don't have to allow you to keep them. I fear sometimes my children are going to end up with one set of clothes and no toys. Like that is a distinct possibility for some of my children, that they will have one article of clothing and that's it. And they can't ever take it off because that's all they have. Right? So it'll never be on the floor. A couple of them are headed in that direction. Now, they don't like it, but that's your choice. You make a choice of whether you want to pick up those toys, pick up those clothes, and put them where they go. That's your choice. Again, Paul is trying to reiterate that in these verses. You make a choice. Therefore, in verse 21, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you were now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. If you choose to be slaves of sin and free from righteousness, the outcome is death. That's the choice that you make. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. What does sanctification mean? It simply means setting apart. Separation. That's what sanctification is, right? You've been set apart for a purpose. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. We can either have physical life where we're free from righteousness. We can live in sin, but the result of that is death. Or we can choose. Did you notice how much I lead our children into some of those, you know, questions? Do you want to eat what mommy wants you to eat, or would you rather have daddy order pizza? Right? We lead. Do you notice? You can either have death, or you can have eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That should be how the world sees us when we're walking around. Look at those Christians. They're miserable. Right? Anybody ever serve as a waitress or waiter? Ask them. They always say the Sunday afternoon crowd is the worst. Don't let that be us. We're supposed to be happy that we made this decision. But sometimes we walk around like we're the most miserable people in the world. No, we shouldn't be. We should be happy that because it leads to eternal life. John chapter 8 and verse 44. We're told, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's the choice that we make. Do we want to follow him? Or as in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious." It should be obvious to people when they see you that you've made a choice. That you are not like everyone else. And yes, they may look at you and say, "That person is weird. Why do they act like that? Why do they not talk like everyone else?" They may look at you and say, "You're weird." But what we're being told here in 1 John, what John is trying to tell us is, yeah, you're going to be different. Because you've made a choice. You're either children of God or the children of the devil. And it's going to be obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Our choice of who we separate from is going to be obvious. We can absolutely choose to remain in sin, but there's a consequence to that. Or we can choose to draw near to God and separate ourselves from sin. But again, there's a consequence for that. The consequence is you don't get to remain in sin if you're going to choose God. But what we receive is so much better if we go to God. Eternal life. Who are you separated from today? Finally, this morning, you know we can choose our destination. We choose heaven or hell. We don't oftentimes like to talk about hell. We don't like to talk about heaven. We like to say heaven and the other place, right? There's hell. It's real. And you get to choose whether you go or not. And of course, we all want to stand firm to say, "No, I don't want to spend an eternity in hell." We may say that, but what do our actions tell us? You ever ask your kids or maybe your spouse, "What's wrong?" "Nothing." Well, if there's nothing wrong, you forgot to tell your face because it's telling me there's something wrong. Right? We probably all have that. Sometimes people say, "Well, no, that's just my look." But when it's your spouse, when it's your children, you know, don't you? You know when something's bothering them. You can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in the tone of their voice. We know. We have a choice. We choose heaven or hell. By choosing a master, as we talked about earlier, by separating from either sin or God, we've made a choice. We choose heaven or hell. Again, we don't always like to talk about it, but that is a choice that we make. And it's going to come out. Again, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's sin's, that's what you earn. If you are clinging to sin and you are separating yourself from God, what you earn is death. However, he goes on and says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Which would you choose? Death or eternal life? Do you want the free gift or do you want the wages that you have earned? I want the free gift. Do you know I get to make that choice? I get to choose whether I want the wages of what I've done or whether I want a free gift from God. But understand, we must constantly be choosing that. Each and every day, we're going to make a choice. Am I going to serve God today or am I going to serve sin today? It's not a one-time decision that we make. And I talk about this all the time. We go through those five steps here, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And then, of course, that sixth one that we add, remain faithful until death. Do you realize that baptism is really the only kind of one-time thing that we do? We will constantly be hearing. We will constantly be adding to our belief. We will constantly be confessing Christ. We'll constantly be repenting of our sins. But then there's that baptism that's that kind of one-time thing that's a step into everything else, into living that faithful life. But even once we make that decision to become a child of God, we still have to choose every day. Right? You may get a job, you may go through I guess you don't probably go through the newspaper anymore, but you may go through online ads and say, well, here's a job opening, here's a job opening, here's a job opening. I'm going to choose this one, I'm going to apply to this one, and you get it. Guess what? You got to go to work every day. Right? On the days that they tell you they go to work, or you're not going to get that paycheck. And you may say, well, I already got the job. Why do I have to show up for work? Well, because that's why we hired you, right? Because we thought you would work. Guess what? We can understand that physically, but somehow spiritually we say, well, we got the job. We're a Christian now. I'm good. I can step back. I don't need to do anything. And God says, no, that's why I chose you. Because you were going to do something. You need to do something. It's not that we earn anything. It's not that we earn something from God. But when He offers us eternal life, He expects us to choose each and every day. Choose Him. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And again, we stop there a lot, and I can say amen to that scripture, but continue on, and he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You've been created to do something. When we become a child of God, when we're baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, that's where he creates us into this new being. That's how we become a new creature. And so we've been created in Christ for good works. And if we're not continuing in them, then we're not choosing our destination. But in essence, we are. If you died today, what is your destination? Are you comfortable that heaven would be your home if today was your last day? If not, seriously consider the salvation of your soul this morning. Because it is a choice. Is it going to be a difficult choice? Yes, sin's the easy choice. Just keep doing what you're doing. Right? Because the majority of the world is going to agree with you. As long as you're not doing the really bad ones. Right? You're not killing anyone. You're not, you know, just do your thing. And even sometimes then, right, with abortion, they think it's okay. The world is going to agree with you. That's easy. It's when the world starts disagreeing with you that you've got an issue. You know, it's funny that the more and more that I choose God, and I've still got a ways to go because I don't always choose Him every day. But the more and more that you choose God, you'll find the less and less people that agree with you. And at some point in my life, a light switch went on. And it was like, oh, because all of these people are disagreeing with me, I might be headed in the right direction. That's a realization for us. What is the destination of your soul today? If you are master, if who you are separated to, if your destination is not what you want it to be, understand that you can choose today. Right? That was Joshua's plea to the children of Israel. Choose today who you will serve. And he could have said the very same thing the very next day. You can change all of those things, who your master is. You can change who you separate from. And you can change the very destination of your soul today. If it comes by choosing Christ in baptism, and again, Christ Himself teaches, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. That's where we begin. That's where we choose Jesus for the first time, by being obedient to His call. We can choose to return back to God. Paul tells the Philippians, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." When you start to choose God when your mom and dad are gone and your parents are no longer there. I had a friend of mine when we went to college, about halfway through our first semester. He said, "You know, I really had you pegged wrong." I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I thought that when you got off to college and you went off on your own, that you would stop going to church on Sunday. You would stop going to Bible study on Wednesday. It's like, you realize your mom would never know if you didn't go. I'm not doing it for her. That's a simple answer. He said, "I really thought you were going to go the other route." No, I made a choice. And in fact, you can come with me if you want. Never did. But that's what he thought. He thought, "Oh, you're just doing it for show. You're just doing it for all, you know, the wrong reasons." No, see, because God, and Paul is expressing this to the Philippians, at some point I'm not going to be in your presence anymore. Right? At some point, mom and dad's not going to be there. And if you're doing it for mom and dad, guess what you're going to do? Whatever you want. But if you're doing it for the right reasons, as Paul is stating here, not in my presence, but now much more in my absence, he tells them to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Come back to God if you've left. John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." You'll do it. Not just say it. Not just say, "I believe," but you'll do it. We have time and opportunity today. If you're here and not a child of God, you can become one today by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Walk out of here with your sins washed away, beginning that life for God today, choosing God today. If you're here and you're a child of God who has fallen away, you can choose God today. I encourage you to do that. If you're subject to God's invitation in any way, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.